We are going to continue our study in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. And so if you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand. We would love for you to follow along with us. And so just stick up your hand really high so our ushers can see. And if you do not have a Bible personally, Merry Christmas. That's a gift to you from us. And so Colossians chapter 3. And while you are turning there, I want to invite all of the men to come out on February 18th, which is a Saturday morning. And we will have a time of breaking bread together. We'll have breakfast and then get into the word here in the sanctuary. So men, come on out. Please sign up. Bring your sons if they're able to come with you. And so we want to encourage everybody to be a part of it as far as the men in the church. And so come on out for that. All right. Why don't we all stand out of reverence for the word one last time? I promise I won't have you keep standing up and down.
Good exercise.
All right. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Father, we again come before you, and we ask that you would be our teacher this morning. Come and fill our hearts with more of you. This is where our victory comes from. It's not what we do. It's because of what you've already done. And as we are in you, God, you help us every day, every second, to put away the old nature and to live in the new. So would you help each and every one of us do that? Our hearts are open, ready to receive from you. So speak and transform us from the inside out. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. All right. Well, before we jump into our passage, I just want to encourage you, if you haven't noticed already by what we have read, that we're going to be talking about some specific things that are here in our passage, and I will be going into definitions of certain words. And so I want to encourage you, if you are in here with one of your children, this may not be the appropriate message that you would want your child to hear. And so I want to encourage you, if this is you, we have children's ministry, and I will not be offended if you kind of go on out during the middle of the message. But I just want to prepare you before we start. I don't want anybody to be caught off by surprise. But today's topic, again, as we've read through the scriptures, there are going to be certain things that we discuss that are happening in our world today. And I want to encourage you that as I do share from the scriptures, that if any of it offends you, please understand that it is my responsibility to give you the truth. Amen. And so I don't want you to just tune out or get so upset that you walk out of here. All I would ask is that you would give me the opportunity to expound and clearly give you the full message before you make a judgment on what you've heard. Every single part of truth comes with grace. And this is where, again, we need to be able to talk about different and difficult situations, difficult topics. God has an answer to all of it. And if we look to the Lord, this is, I believe, his prayer and my prayer. And that would be, as we live for Jesus, wouldn't it be awesome if the world, as it's fallen apart, would all of a sudden turn to the church and say, how are we supposed to live? And so I pray that today that would be a message that would equip us and encourage us. But again, I want to warn you beforehand. And so as we've looked at the passage that we're going to unfold, verse 5 starts off with the word, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. And whenever we see the word therefore, beloved, what are we supposed to do? Understand why it's there, right? We need to go back to the previous verses of what's been said. And that's referring to verses 1 to 4. And Paul encouraged us last week, since we have been raised with Christ, that we're to seek those things above. And as brand new believers, spiritually alive now to God, now that we have this amazing and right relationship with God, his desire is for us is to continue to seek those things that will continue to unfold the beauty of who God is. We looked at looking and desiring those things that are above, those things that are eternal, compared to those things that are temporary. We're not to strive all of our life for those things, because the reality is the bumper sticker lies, okay? The one who has the most toys does not win. Everyone who has a bunch of stuff, that stuff gets passed down to other people. You can't take it with you to heaven. And some of you might be saying, oh yeah, well, you want to see? you can try, it's up to you. But the reality is we don't take anything with us. So the greatest thing that we can do is remember, as we have now been raised with Christ, this place is not our home. We're a new creation in Christ. And not only are we a new creation, but it says that we were hidden with Christ. Our life is hidden in him. So as long as we are living for the Lord, okay, we're not living according to this world. We live in both. But the reality is this, we're not to, you know, allow the world to be in us. And Jesus even prayed in John chapter 17 that he's not praying that we as believers would be taken out of the world, but that we would go into the world and that God would just protect us from the enemy, from Satan. That's what his prayer was, and it still is. So we're called to be in this world, but not of the world. And what a blessing. I pray that you would understand and know that this is the place, a place of refuge, a place where you can retreat, a place that you can come to and be encouraged and built up in the things of God. I hope and pray that if you ever, as a believer or somebody who's searching after the truth, that, listen, if you are so fed up with the things that are happening in the world, that you would be able to come in here and clearly hear from the Word of God as to how we're to live and what his overall plan is. And for those of us who are believers, if we fall, that you would truly know that this is a place of refuge. The last thing you want to do is hide from the Lord or hide from your fellow brothers and sisters. Whenever you isolate yourself, this is where the enemy loves to just torment you. And so the reality is this place, this church should be a safe haven, a place of refuge for us to come and to be encouraged and built up. And there's going to be a time for us to, you know, wrap our arms around you and say everything's going to be all right. And then there's other times where, you know, man to man, you just need to put your big boy pants on and let's get busy. Okay, there's different times, different seasons, but I'll tell you this right now, we're here to learn together how to live for Jesus. Amen. The beauty of being hidden in Christ, with Christ, is this: no one will ever be able to snatch us from his presence or his hand. The other thing that Paul encouraged us with through verses 1 to 4 was that one day we will receive that ultimate reward to be with him for all eternity, where we'll get our glorified bodies. Remember that? Isn't that awesome? I am going to be at least 6 foot. Easy. Easy. It's so funny. You know, Maurice and I were at Target the other day, and one of the young adults from our fellowship was walking by us, and, you know, I had to look up, and he was, I kid you not, he had to be at least about 6'3", 6'4". And I just looked at him and said, it's not fair. It's just not fair. But there's going to come a day where we're going to experience what God always desired, and that is to have fellowship with him, walking with him, being in a place where there's no more corruption, no more evil. And it's going to be a beautiful place where no more tears, no more pain. And this is God's plan. And this is the reward for those who put their faith in Christ Jesus that one day they will receive. So because of this, now that we are a new creation, now that we are hidden in Christ, now that we have an amazing award awaiting us, Paul is now going to encourage us to put to death, verse 5, your members which are on the earth. And in this one verse, I want to give you a couple of definitions to some of these words to hopefully build on what Paul, I believe, is saying. But the word death here means to deaden or cause to cease completely, to put an end to the life of something. The word members refers to a part of the body. And then the word earth refers to our old sinful nature or any sinful earthly system, any earthly sinful ways. And so when we look at these definitions, what is Paul trying to tell us? And I believe the ESV translated it perfectly, and this is what it says: to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So we are to put an end to those things, whatever belongs to our old nature or any sinful thing of this world. Here's the beauty that we have: we now have the power to say no. Okay, let me say that one more time. We have the power to say no. And listen, I hope that you would grasp the power that's behind that statement. Because God didn't just have the power to win the battle over Satan, sin, and death, and hell. He's given us power to say no and live for him. And this is where the victory comes from. And if we don't understand it, then we will find ourselves continuing to, fall into those old habits of ours. But if Christ has set us free from them, it's for a purpose, because he doesn't want us to go back to them. And so not only do we have this amazing power, but here's the other truth. Just because the laws of our land have declared that certain things are okay, listen, beloved, the final authority is the Word of God. And this is what we are going to continue to preach on. Though things in our world may be acceptable, but anything that is contrary to the Word of God, we are going to make a stand against. And so one of the things that I pray we would understand and know is that I love the way that the Apostle Paul encouraged the church in Galatia in chapter 2, verse 20. This is what he says: as believers in Christ, listen carefully, we have died to our old nature so that we can live in the new. And what was his encouragement? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is where we are to live. And the only way that we're going to accomplish this is we definitely do need to put to death our old nature. Notice the word that Paul used in that verse, crucified. Do you understand and know that back in this time, crucifixion was a common death for a criminal? And it wasn't an immediate death. It was one that was very painful, one that some could have lasted easily 2 days. Hanging on a cross, suspended, arms nailed, feet nailed. So it wasn't a quick death. And in the same way that that was a process, so it is with our old nature. As long as we are in these bodies, listen, our old nature is not happy. Have you discovered that? And because it's not happy, it wants to take control again. But this is exactly what Paul is encouraging us, that it's going to be something that we need to die to. I hope and pray that none of us are following the theology of Disney. Just follow your heart. Why should we not follow our heart? Because the Bible says very clearly in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is why it's so important that we understand when we walk with the Lord, it's not based upon our feelings. It's based upon faith. And one of the beautiful things is as we put to death our old nature and these earthly desires, listen, it is going to be a daily battle. For some of us in this room, it's literally a every second battle. Am I only preaching to myself now? Okay. I want to share with you a prayer that Pastor Skip Heitzig shared in one of his messages. And it's a man who is praying to the Lord. And this is how it goes. Lord, excuse me. Wow, where did that come from? Hold on. He said, Lord, I thank you for this new day. And so far, I have walked in obedience. I have kept my heart pure before you. I have not had an evil thought, or I haven't lusted over everything. I have been perfect. But in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And from that point on, would you please help me for the rest of my day? How many of us can relate to that? The battle and the struggle is real, but listen, even though we're going to have this struggle until we see Jesus, here's a truth that you and I both need to hang on to, and that is this: we are overcomers. How do we know that? Well, again, because of Scripture. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So not only did Jesus win the battle on the cross, now that we have this right relationship, we've been forgiven, God's Spirit now dwells within us to empower us to do these things. And so he is now getting ready to go through a couple of lists here in our passage, and we need to put to death what is written here. And both of these lists, listen, one deals with sexual immorality, and the other one is evil practices. And so the first list, let's just take a look at this real quick. To put to death or to put an end to, it says fornication. And this is speaking of any kind of sexual activity that is immoral. When it comes to uncleanness, listen carefully, it's the state of moral impurity. Here is the reality. When it comes to our heart and our mind, if you, listen carefully, if you have impure thoughts, it will lead you to impure actions. That's a guarantee. Whatever you feed is what is going to come out. And if in our heart and our mind, if we are constantly thinking of those things, it will become an action. When it comes to evil and passion, it's someone who is driven by lust. These are strong, intense, uncontrollable desires for sex. Now, what is amazing to me, as I've gone through just the first four of these, this was a problem back in Paul's day. And it definitely is a problem in our day. So I don't know how sometimes people think that the Bible is not relevant to today. But when we look at this, this is what we need to understand. And that is this: when it comes to sex, God created it. And listen carefully, beloved. He gave guidelines in who can enjoy it. And when we look at what God has given for a husband and a wife within the confines of marriage, that is it. Anything outside of it is against his word. And one of the things that I hope and pray that you would understand is God's not some killjoy. You might be thinking, hey, it's my body, I could do whatever I want. That's true, you can. But is it good for you? Because the reality is, with all of these guidelines and what God has laid out in the scriptures, The perfect reason for him doing it is so that your heart won't get broken. Listen, I've counseled many young adults and even some older adults who act like young adults. Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm really in love, and it's been like 2 weeks, and it's just, you know, this is the one, and, you know, I don't feel like we have to wait. Why can't we just hook up and start living together? Why do we have to get married? And, you know, I want to make sure that she's the perfect fit. Nah, bro. Mm-mm. Not according to the word. Not according to what God says. And here's the thing. When we look at what he's saying here, that's not love. It's lust. I want it now, and I just can't control myself. And some of you might catch this by surprise, but this is, again, it's something that the world is involved in because there are no boundaries for them. They don't have a desire to know the way God wants it to be handled. So when there's no boundaries, free game. So it's no wonder why our world is in the condition that it's in. But the example I gave you is coming from a believer. Does that catch you by surprise? Sometimes believers are still hanging too close to that line of how far I can go before I actually fall into sin, instead of staying so far away from it. And the reality is this. This is what I want to share with you. When there are no boundaries, notice the way that our world is today. Divorce rate to the roof. And it's not just in the world. It's even within the church. Marriages are being broken up because of what? Adultery. Whatever lustful thoughts we have roaming around in our heart, if we allow them to maintain or remain in there, they will lead into impure thoughts, impure actions. When it comes to what we see happening in our world, prostitution and sex trafficking. Oh, what's the matter with those things, Pastor? Kidnapping, one. Forcing people to do things that is unlawful, unbiblical. Selling your body for sex, for money, is not the way God designed you to be. I believe, and this is my personal opinion, that if people today were able to abstain from these things, there would be less STD passed around. We wouldn't hear of AIDS and things like that. If we were able to follow along with God's view and guidelines, I guarantee you there would be less and less and less and less and less of abortions. Well, it's my body. You're absolutely right. It's yours. But it's not fair for you to go out and have an enjoyable night and then the next day find the results of you being pregnant and killing an innocent life. It's not okay. Though the world may say it is not fair to dismiss a life because of inconvenience. And I hope and pray that some of these couples would come to the realization that that's not the solution. I would pray that there would be some form of, hey, I could literally bless another couple who's had a desire to have kids. Because there's so many families out there who want them and just can't. And how much of a blessing would that be for somebody to raise a child? We have all of these problems, and even when it comes to pornography. And can I encourage you with this? It's not just a man's issue. One of the pastors that shared at one of the conferences that we attended shared this scary statistic that there are pastors today that are addicted to pornography preaching from pulpits. And even though I heard some, you know, another statistic? 70% of people who attend churches are addicted to pornography. And now here comes a real more statistic. Some of you might be thinking, well, we need to pray for our men. But the reality is women are just as addicted to pornography as men are. That ratio of that percentage is not that far away. Those are the things of the world that say it's okay to do. But again, God's word has the final authority. And Paul's encouragement to us is to get rid of it, to put it to death. We've been delivered from it. Notice covetousness. This is one of the commandments in the law, the 10th commandment, actually. It's a strong desire to acquire more and more, whether it's material things or to possess what other people have. Greed is another good word for that. And Paul says this, covetousness is idolatry. It's placing your wants, my wants, over God's will. And when that takes place, it's all about me, which leads to now self-worship. So it's no longer desiring to fulfill God's will. It's what's going to satisfy me. And I think if all of us were transparent, if we can look back into our life when we were in the world and we were striving after all of those things that we thought would bring us happiness, and once we obtained them, you discovered there ain't really a whole lot of happiness. It just left you more empty. So Paul, in verses 6 and 7, is encouraging us, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So if we know that God's wrath is coming for those who are being disobedient in following these guidelines, Paul is reminding us, if God is going to judge the world for these things, shouldn't we as believers not want to be in that bracket? Shouldn't we come to that understanding and know that we've been set free from it, so don't entertain it? If we've been set free from it, don't look at it. If we've been set free from it, don't hang around with it. And when we, when we cut ourselves away from there, then again, that next verse will be fulfilled, because that was our past. And can we all agree with this? When it comes to what I believe Paul is saying, God's going to deal rightfully with these people who walk in disobedience to his commands. But listen carefully. That's who we once were. Past tense. That's not who you are today. Because if you made a confession of faith and you've given the Lord your heart, the Bible says very clearly, you are now a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. And so my greatest desire is for us to remember this. We're not to keep dwelling in our past. We're not to keep going back to our past. But we need to keep moving forward with the Lord. I want us to be encouraged by what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians. Notice what he says. Chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained, or am already perfected. I'm not coming here before you acting arrogantly like I know it all. That's what he's saying. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. If Jesus was willing to die on a cross for us, Paul is saying, I am now ready to crucify myself for the sake of walking with Jesus. And he goes on to say this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I don't know how all of this is going to work. I understand where I've been. I understand where I came from. I understand I was there when my fellow countrymen were stoning Stephen. I held their coats. I was there when Christians were being arrested. Actually, I was the one who arrested them. So I know where I've been, and I understand God's grace. I don't know how it's all going to work, but this is what I'm holding on to. And that is this. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and now reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what it means to put to death that old nature. That we're not to go backwards, but we're to keep moving forward in the things of the Lord. So this is the first list. Pretty heavy one, wasn't it? Verse 8 and 9. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now as we look at this second list, these are the things that we do toward people. Our behavior. Notice what it says, anger. What is it? It's that inward resentment that grows within us sometimes when we see people. But you hold it in. And just catching a glance at them, your blood starts boiling and your veins start popping out of your neck, right? But you never say anything. But you have a bad attitude with everybody who comes your way. It's bottled up inside. Wrath is when all that anger no longer can be bottled up and it turns into rage. It turns now into physical response. Kind of like a tea kettle, right? You put water in it, you put the heat on, and then when it starts getting warm, it makes that little soothing whistle. But the longer that it stays, then it starts screaming at you and steam's flying out of it. Where do we see that happening in our world? If somebody decides to take a little bit more, a few seconds at a red stoplight. People getting out of their car just because he didn't move fast enough. Busting out a windshield or threatening somebody's life. Rage. Responding in your emotions. Malice is the type of person who plots and plans how to get revenge. Oh man, this dude burned me. Oh, stay up all night plotting and planning on how you're going to retaliate. Blasphemy. This is speaking bad about God or even other people. Lord says, don't use my name in vain. We're not to talk bad about anyone. You know, as much as we talked about those sexual sins, do you realize that this is all in the same bracket? There's not one greater than the other, though they have different consequences. Sin is sin. And if you are saying negative things about other people, gossiping about other people, it is a sin. Stop it. Why is it so important not to speak about somebody when you don't know? Because of the consequences of ruining somebody's reputation. That also ties in with filthy language. This could refer to us, again, talking negatively about people. But I lean more toward the second. It could be either one. But listen, now that we are saved, we're not to talk like we used to in the sense of us cursing. And I know that some of you in here, oh, pastor's getting all legalistic on me. That's just his pet peeve. But I just want to encourage you with this. Just because you find a substitute word for the original word doesn't make it any better. It's still the same word. So I'm not going to expound on it. I believe you got my point. Oh, pastor, again, that's your pet peeve. Well, I would encourage you to look up James chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Read it, pray over it, come back and tell me what you got out of it. Because the reality is salt water doesn't come out of fresh water. The tongue is the most powerful thing in our bodies that it's hard to tame and cause so much damage. Because the moment you start gossiping and the moment that you start talking about other people negatively, and even though you're wrong, you've already damaged a person's reputation. And I hope and pray that none of us would want to be known for that. That we would want to be those who build up and not tear other people down. When it says, do not lie, why is this important? Because every time we lie, we are imitating Satan. Do you realize that the Bible says very clearly that he is the father of all lies? That lying has originated with him. So when we lie, we're mimicking him. We're copying him. And so since these things we have died to, we put off from our old nature, how can we do this in a practical way? How do we do this, Pastor? Well, notice what it says in verse 10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And this is what I want us to see here in this verse. Putting on the new man means turning away from the old. And I believe with all my heart, listen carefully, beloved, it's so important that we make sure that we understand that these next steps are going to be important. And what are they? The first one, in order for us to put the new man on and get rid of the old, we need to stay far away from it. Oh, stay far away from temptation. Stay far away from people or places that are going to cause us to sin. Bible says very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, that we have, listen, we have no need to fool around with darkness anymore. Darkness and light don't mix. Now, please understand what I'm saying here. You do not have to cut away from every single person who doesn't know Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. You might be thinking here, but I got a lot of friends who don't know the Lord, and they're my boys. That's fine. Go hiking with them. That's okay. But the moment that they began to try to influence you to do things that are against God, they're no longer your boys. Because if they were your boys, they would have your best interest in mind. If they were your boys, they would remind you that you're married and you need to go home to your wife. If they were your boys, they would again not cause you to get into trouble, but make sure that you're honoring your beliefs. So if you have people in your life right now that aren't doing that, then I would encourage you to pray and ask the Lord, what do I do with this? Because the Bible is very clear, bad company corrupts good character. So we need to stay far away. We need to put boundaries up. We need to, again, stay far away from that line. Don't try and get as close as you can to it, thinking, oh, well, I haven't sinned, so I can get a little closer. No, stay as far away from it as possible. What are some of those boundaries for us? If you're having problems with the internet, don't be looking at it at night in a bedroom by yourself with a closed door. Take your computer out of your bedroom and put it in the kitchen. It's a simple solution. If you have that much problem with your cell phone, go get a dumb phone. Get a flip phone that doesn't have internet. All it does is text and phone call. That's all you need a phone for. If it's that much of a temptation, cut away from it. If you're having problems drinking, I want this to be something that I don't want everybody to laugh at, but the common sense would be is don't hang out at a bar. Today, football, Super Bowl Sunday. People are going to be gathering. And if they invite you and you can handle it, be a light. Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners, but he never allowed them to influence him. When that halftime event happens, turn around. You don't need to see somebody pole dancing. You don't need to see somebody dancing inappropriately. Turn around. Be a light. These are the practical ways that we put on the new nature. When everybody's talking about things that are foolishness, nonsense, don't give your 2 cents to it. Don't get involved in it. These are just practical ways, setting those boundaries, not entertaining, not giving an ounce of that to pop back up into your life. A second thing that we can do in order to, again, put on the new man is to renew our thinking. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If you recall, when we went through the book of Romans, as soon as we hit chapter 12, this first verse basically is saying, now that you understand everything that God has done for you from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 11, out of all that God has done, extending his righteousness to you, dying for you and saving you of your sins, allowing you to be adopted into his family, giving you his Holy Spirit so that now you will become an instrument of righteousness instead of evil. After all that God has done for you, he says, I'm begging you to do what? To now present your bodies no longer to your old nature, but according to the new. That you and I would not only live for the Lord today, but that word holy speaks of being set apart, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When you discover what God has done for you, beloved, the only rightful thing we can do is give him back our heart. Amen. After all he has done, it's not because you have to. It's because we get to. He says, in view of all of this, and it's not unreasonable. And in verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't just go with the flow. Just because the world is doing it doesn't mean it's okay for you. If the world wants to continue to live the way that it is, that's their choice. But the reality is we are not going to live in that fashion. And the reason why is because we belong to Christ. When you don't conform to this world and your mind is transformed by the renewing of your mind, it is there that you will discover what is good, what is acceptable in the perfect will of God. You see, beloved, this is so important for us because if we do this, if we're able to accomplish this again, I believe with all my heart, because of all the darkness, because of all the chaos, because of all the fighting and the wars that are going on, if this world actually saw true Christianity being lived out, I guarantee you they would start looking to the church asking for help. And this is where I pray that you would understand and how important this is, because not only are we as believers to live in this way when we don't, we are basically giving the world every right to call us that name that we hate hearing, which is hypocrite. Why would they want anything that we have if we're preaching one message and living another? And the reality is this. When we put up our heart before the Lord, when we give him our heart, he's the one that comes in. He's the one that renews us. And even though this world may live against God's word, God will still pour in our heart a right love. Though we may not agree, God's still calling us to love. I want to share a story with you to help hopefully bring this point out. There was a pastor in one of the conferences that I heard. And him and his daughter put their son in soccer. And as they started meeting all of the other families, there was one particular family that had a son, but it was two women. And all of the other parents that were a part of this club team didn't want anything to do with this couple. And the pastor and his wife befriended them, greeted them, treated them kindly, said hello to them, didn't isolate themselves from them, talked with them. And one day, this pastor and his wife invited them over to their house for dinner. And as they showed up, they sat down and had a conversation. And as they were talking about, you know, just a little bit of everything and anything, all of a sudden, one of the women asked the pastor, "So what do you do for a living?" And all of a sudden, he said, "I'm a minister of the gospel." And one of the women got up angry. "I'm ready to leave. Let's go. Let's get out of here. He's going to start preaching to us." And the other woman said, "Sit down. Out of all the people that we know, these have been the nicest people to us. Come back over here, sit down, we're going to finish our dinner, then we'll go." So it was a little bit of a rough conversation, but they got through it. They continued to see one another, continue to be kind, continue to be nice. And then one day this couple approached him and said, "Would you be willing to do us a favor?" And at that point the pastor thought, "Oh no, here it comes." But one of the women said, "We've seen how you are with your son. And we know that our son needs the influence of a man. Would you be willing to mentor him?" And he said, "Absolutely." So they started getting to know this young man, and he was very upfront. "This is who I am. You know who I am. You know what I live. You know how I live. This is what I'm going to share with your boy." And they were totally fine with it. And after some time, they came back to the pastor once again, and they said, "We have another favor to ask you." And he said, "What is it?" And they asked, "Will you marry us?" And the pastor looked at them, and he said those famous words, "You know I love you, right? But I can't do that. I'm a minister of the gospel, and according to the scriptures, I want to honor God in everything I do. And when it comes to marriage, the Bible is very clear that it is between a man and a woman. And I am not going to deviate from it. I'm not going to compromise that. I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to do it." And after a little bit of silence, the women both looked at each other and smiled and turned back to him and said, "We were just kidding." But the reality is they were testing. We're not called to judge people who don't know Jesus. We're not called to bring out everybody's garbage. We've been called today to be a light. And even when it comes to us within this fellowship, we're not even called to judge one another. That's God's job. But it is our responsibility to love one another enough to say, "Are you okay?" It is our responsibility to come alongside a brother or a sister and go, "Bro," or "sis," however you ladies address each other. But for us, brah, what I see happening right now from this side doesn't look good. It looks like you're dabbling with things that are unhealthy. Are you okay? Why are you all up in my business? I love you enough to say something. I'm not judging you. But if there's anything going on, we're here to help. When we renew our mind, not only do we not judge people, we know what God's word says. We love like he loves. We extend grace like he extends. We extend mercy as he extends. And I just want to say this to sum it all up. There is no greater place to be than in the center of God's will. Because it is God's word, his holy scriptures, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that is where our victory comes in putting to rest our old nature. You and I can't do it alone. You and I can't do it in our own efforts. And the last point I want to share with you this morning is this. In order to put on the new, we need to commit to walking with the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 tells us that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not desire the works of the flesh because they're contrary to one another. If you continue to give the Lord your heart, then he is going to come in and clean house. He's going to come in. Some of us need a 2x4 for the Lord to do it. Some of us need a wire brush. Some of us need an air pressure sprayer. We're all different. But I do know this, that God is in the business of taking hearts that have been broken and hurt and restoring them, giving hope. Even if we have given a piece of our heart away, God can restore it. And so my greatest desire is to share these things with you because, again, here's my personal view on this. Paul was speaking to believers. And whether you want to believe he's only talking about those who were living in the past, I also believe he's talking to those who are in the church today. None of us are perfect. And I'm not here to condemn anybody. But I am saying this. If God's word is what it is, and we just heard Paul say, it's time to put it to death, then, beloved, it's time to cut away from it. It's time for us to start taking our walk serious with the Lord and don't think that we can pick and choose what we want to live and what we don't. You are not yourself anymore. You were bought at a price, and it was Christ's blood on the cross that set you free. So why would you want to go back? And I hope and pray that that would encourage you today. I hope and pray that you know that we love you here and that we are going to continue to go through God's word and learn what it means to walk with him. But for today, what is our encouragement? It's time to put away the old and to live in the new. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we want to come before you and we want to thank you for your word today. And I do thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear from you. And I do pray, Lord, that every word and everything that was shared, that everyone would have an opportunity to meditate upon it and to seek you to clarify anything if there was some misunderstanding or if there needs to be more clarity. I pray that many of us in here would know God's not expecting perfection. And I'm not here to direct this message to those in the world. I'm here to direct it toward us as believers. As brothers and sisters, all of us need Jesus. And we all need to put that nature to rest. Because it's that old nature that is desiring to take control. It is that old nature that pulls us away from God. And it is our old nature that will hinder the work that God is wanting to do. And this is why it's so important to cut away from it. Let us not give the enemy any more ounce of our heart. Scriptures are very clear that it is the Son of God, it is the truth of God's word that sets us free. And what is the truth that we need to understand? That Jesus came, he died for the sins of the world in order to set us free from the penalty of sin. That's the truth that sets us free. And when we believe, God is able to do an amazing work in and through you. And so today, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to encourage anybody in this place, if you want to get your heart right with God, I want you to know if you have been a part of anything that we were discussing in here, there's an ability for God to set you free from them. And if this is you today and you want to give your heart to the Lord, it's just a prayer away. And I want to encourage you right where you're at. If this is you, slip up your hand so that I can see it, and it would be an honor to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus into your heart. Anyone? Praise the Lord, I see your hand here up in the front. Anyone else? I don't want this moment to go away. I want to give the Lord an opportunity to keep ministering to your heart. The reality of the message today, that there's nothing here on this earth that will ever compare to the sweet reward that Jesus is willing to give in the gift of everlasting life. This place is not our home. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Now I want to speak to the family. Maybe some of you in here today, maybe the Lord's brought some conviction. Maybe some of you who have been coming here have just been playing church. Maybe some of you in this place are still stuck in your past. Maybe it's time for you today to make a recommitment to the Lord. And I want to invite you to raise your hand if this is you. If you strayed, if you started doing things that were of this world again, praise the Lord, I see your hand in the center, in the middle here, off to my left. Anyone else? Off to my left again, praise the Lord, off to my right, in the back there. Praise the Lord for up here in the front. Lord, thank you for moving. I see your hand to my right. Thank you. You guys can put your hands down. Beloved, this is what it's all about. Letting the Lord move and speak to our hearts and know that he's real because he loves you. And he has great things planned for you. And it starts here today. And maybe you didn't raise your hand. You can still pray. You can still ask the Lord to come into your life. It's not the raising of your hand that saves you, it's your heart. So today, I want to encourage you, anybody, whether first time or you want to recommit your heart to the Lord, just repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the world. I come before you, God, and I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that through his death, I have been forgiven and at peace with God. Thank you, Jesus. for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and help me from this day forward to live for you. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. 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 Well, listen, for those of you who made that prayer sincere between you and the Lord, I want to be the first to congratulate you. You made the best decision ever. Welcome into the family of the Lord. Before you go, I want to strongly encourage you, do not go out those back doors. I would want to invite you forward. Pastor Steve is off to my left here. And what we want to do is we want to make sure, just as you heard today, that God has set you up for victory. We want to do the same. By you coming forward and being a few minutes with Pastor Steve, it's not to join our church. We don't have membership here. But what we want to do is give you a Bible if you don't have one. We want to help you learn where to start reading. We want to give you another book that's going to help you in this new relationship with the Lord. And so please don't leave this place without getting those things, because I guarantee you, the moment that you walk out of this church building, you've made somebody really upset. And I don't say that to scare you, but it's a good thing. You have now decided to walk with the Lord, and he's going to be with you to counteract anything that the enemy brings your way. And so we want to help you start that new relationship right. So as we all stand up and we get ready to worship the Lord before we end the service, also at the end of worship, you guys can stand on up. Go ahead. It's okay. Exercise. After the worship song, I want to encourage you, if you have any prayer needs, we're going to have a prayer team up here. And so we want to serve you. We want to minister to you. So don't leave this place without getting prayed for. And today, if you are going to a Super Bowl party, can I just encourage you with this? It's no big deal. It's not an important game. I'm just kidding. If you go, be a light. Love you guys. God bless you. May God fill you and strengthen you.